Amen. Enjoyed that. First time that the teen group has sung for us this year, school year. Very, very good. You have your handout. We're in Genesis 17, 17th chapter, book of Genesis, and I'm going to pray. If you didn't get a prayer list, you need the handouts on the back there. I think you're familiar with that now. All right. Father in heaven, thank you for the good song. It fits really right in with what we're going to start off tonight, just above, not quite, but almost there. And it's good to just a good hear a good song like that that fits with the some of what the message is about. So give us your heart tonight. And Lord, may you speak to us as only you can through your word. Help us to learn some things, I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. Now, we ended last week there in chapter 16 talking about the sorrow upon sorrow upon sorrow that comes when you just don't wait on God and do it His way. And you remember, of course, that Hagar ended up expecting Abraham's child. And whatever happened that took place there, she got kicked out of the camp. Well, by the time you get to chapter 17, Hagar has returned to the camp at God's direction. That's what He told her. He came to where she was and He said, you go back. Not only did He say, you go back, He said, you submit yourself to Sarah. And so Hagar did that. Now, that's an Egyptian woman. And she obeyed the Lord. And so then a boy was born named Ishmael. And for 13 years, there was growth. The boy grew physically. And Abraham's fondness for the boy grew as well as he watched that boy grow. And you come to chapter 17, you see it here at the very beginning. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, so he's 99 years old. And so for 13 years, Abraham watched and he loved and he wondered and he pondered and he waited. And we don't have any recorded message from God to Abraham during those 13 years. Look at the last verse of chapter 16. And Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So he's 86 years old. You come to chapter 17, verse 1. He is 99, and we have no record of any kind of message. Now, people, you got to live this a little bit. God has been coming to Abraham, giving him promises, revealing truth to Abraham, and then everything goes silent for 13 years. Now, this must have been an excruciating period of time for Abraham. He probably did a lot of soul-searching to see if the problem was with him. But number one on your sheet tonight, there are times when God goes silent. And we've talked about that before. And when that happens, it is necessary for us to stay the course. Stay the course. When God goes silent, we stay the course. As far as we are allowed to know, Abraham did just that. He kept his way before the Lord during those silent years. And I had this thought this week, putting this lesson together. Number two, the life of following Christ is not always a life of mountaintop experiences. Neither is it a life of valley dwelling. So following Christ is not always that joy and thrill of being on the mountaintop. Neither is it always that despair of being in the valley. Much of number three, much of the life of following Christ is on the plain. Where's Abraham at right now? He's on the plains. It is routine. And in the routine, it is necessary to maintain our way before the Lord. Stop and think about your Christian life and think about, you know, everybody here could probably talk about the time periods when you felt like it was that mountaintop experience in your Christian life. And I mean, boy, the thrill of whatever God had done for you, was doing, and you recall that, and the just the nearness, and then you recall also the valleys of your life. And even in the valley, didn't we just hear a song recently? Somebody sang that, even in the valley, God is, whatever those words are, I forget right now. God is what He's new, what God is. Good, that's right. Yeah, He is good. Yes, that's right. I wanted to say near, but I knew near wasn't right, so I couldn't get the other word. But you know what I'm talking about? In the valley, it's not a mountaintop experience, but God's nearness and God's goodness is present. But how much of your life is just spent on the plain? day after day, turns into week after week, turns into months after months, and it's not really a mountaintop experience, it's not really a valley experience, it's just a routine of life, going to work every day, going to school every day, painting the house, taking care of things around the house every day, day in, day out, day in, day out. There's not that thrill of victory of the mountaintop. There's not that nearness when you're in the valley and you need encouragement. And folks, when we get in those stretches in the routine of our life, when we're just in the plane of life, you got to maintain your way before the Lord. You got to stay the course. Look what God said here. God comes in verse number 1. Abraham is 99 years old, and God visits him again. And then this visit, there's some very special things that God says to Abraham. And I say, first of all, I give you four things today. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, here's the first thing, there was a powerful revelation. There was a powerful revelation. So here's what God said to him, I am the Almighty God. So I was blessed tonight when the young people were up here singing, we serve a mighty God. I was blessed about that. I knew where I was going in this lesson a little bit. Now, you know what this is right here for you? He says, I am the Almighty God. This is the Hebrew name for God, El Shaddai. You've heard that name. It's the name God used for Himself throughout the life of the patriarchs. It's not used that much in the Old Testament. You'll find it often in the book of Job. Because you believe that Job, you know, chronologically fits somewhere in the book of Genesis. So it's the name that God used to reveal a certain aspect of Himself, His nature, His character to the patriarchs. The name Jehovah you won't find in the book of Genesis. You won't find Jehovah until Moses is down in Egypt getting ready to lead the children of Israel out of that place. That's where you find Jehovah. And then it's used over and over and over again. But this name of God, this God Almighty, this Almighty God, this El Shaddai, is how God introduces Himself to Abraham at this particular time in Abraham's life. Number 5 on your sheet, Abraham is told that God is a mighty God. In fact, He is Almighty. And that's how God comes to him. Abraham, I am the Almighty God. Now, God's about to lay a heavy command on Abraham, one that Abraham, in his own power, would not be able to keep. So before the command is given, God causes Abraham to understand how powerful and mighty God is. And there's two words that just keep, in my mind, permeating through these scriptures as we talk about this tonight. God is saying, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. God, Abraham hadn't heard anything for 13 years. God, and by the way, there's no child except for Ishmael. And God comes to Abraham and says, I am the Almighty God. Abraham, you trust me now. This is something that is found in other places in Scripture. Matthew 28, before Jesus gave the command to go into all the world and win and baptize and teach, what did Jesus say to His disciples? All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. All power, almighty. There's that same characteristic, that same nature. And there was this promise of power before the command to evangelize was given. And it was the same type promise. All power, all might. People, I know you've heard it. I know it's elementary. I know it's just on the bottom shelf. But there is no shortage of power with God. And we have to be reminded of that every so often. And so He comes to Abraham and He says, I am the Almighty God. Number 6 there, there is always a provision of power to obey the commands that Christ has given to us. And God is about to give Abraham a command in this verse. And he's going to need to know that God has the power to help him obey this command, no matter the difficulty of the command. The commands are backed with power from the Almighty. So here's this powerful revelation. I mean, it's like out of the blue, 13 years of nothing, and then wham! Here's God talking to Abraham. I am the Almighty God. I'm El Shaddai. Okay? So it's a powerful revelation. Number 2, number 7 on your sheet. there was a personal expectation. A personal expectation. Now, you see it at the end of verse number 1. He gives that powerful revelation, I am the Almighty God. And then he says, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, number 8 on your sheet, the command was not to a life of sinlessness. We know that. But completeness, wholeheartedness, sincerity. Abraham, you walk before me, and I want you to walk before me wholeheartedly, completely. And people, can I say that God has good things in store for those who follow Him wholeheartedly? What's He saying again? He's saying, you trust me. You trust me. The path God was taking Abraham required wholeheartedness, this life of full separation, complete obedience to Him as a pilgrim. And those promises had been made and they had been remade, and there was still a time of waiting that Abraham was going to have to go through that required faithfulness. And wholeheartedly walking before God was the expectation that was placed on Abraham's shoulders. Abraham, I know there's... And we're going to get into this. Ishmael is not the son I've been talking about. You trust me. You walk before me wholeheartedly. But God, I don't understand. Trust me. But God, trust me. You walk before me wholehearted. And folks, one of the most vital things for you and me, when life gets confusing and it looks like God is hiding Himself and God is silent, and some of the promises that we hang on to, you wonder, man, is God going to make good on it? The thing that we need to do above all others is just wholeheartedly walk before Him. Be faithful. Be faithful. Trust Him. A life of wholeheartedness. I think when I think of a life of wholeheartedness, I think of Caleb in the Bible. In Numbers 32, Caleb was mentioned by God as having wholly followed the Lord. God pointed him out and He said, that man Caleb, he's a different sort. He wholly followed me. And this was after the time, now you've got to live this in your mind, that 10 other men doubted the Lord's promise concerning the land of Canaan. And Caleb was strenuously objecting to their lack of faith. Let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able to overcome it. Why? Because God said they would. So that was great faith in God. But people, number nine, the test, the real test of wholeheartedly following the Lord was to come. When Caleb had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years with those who doubted. He didn't doubt. He didn't lack faith. He had faith. He said, let's go in. But he had to walk for 40... Who is 40 years old in this room? Matt Prather. As long as Matt Prather has been alive, 40 years. You know, put yourself in Caleb's shoes. Think about the wilderness wanderings. No water. No meat for a while. Murmuring and complaining and all that. And Moses is up on the mountain. And man, the people go crazy and Aaron gets caught up in it. I would think that after a while, Caleb, every morning when he walked out of his tent, he looked around at all that and he thought, what in the stinking world? Wouldn't you think that? Maybe you're too good a Christian. I would think, what in the stinking world? Where we are with this bunch of unbelievers? God, what are you doing? 40 years. You know what God's testimony about Caleb was during that time period? He wholly followed me. You hit those times in life where you don't think God's being fair. We've talked about that before. We ought not go there. You don't want to play that card on God. Because if we really want what's fair, folks, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die and bust hell wide open. That's fair. And you don't want to go to God and complain about not being fair after He gave His Son and what happened to His Son. You almost hear God saying, don't talk to me about fair. Well, God, what do we, trust me. Follow me. With all of your heart, Abraham, walk before me. It's not be sinless. It's walk before me wholeheartedly, sincerely. And that's exactly what Caleb did for 40 years. And he prevailed. And after the land was conquered and settled, he goes to Joshua and he lays claim to the mountain that God had promised him. I want to tell you something. 40 years is a long time to remain faithful in waiting. Are you listening? 40 years. And he faithfully waits before God. Finally, the answer came. What are you waiting on God for in your life? Are you waiting on Him to answer a long-made request? Has He not changed your heart's desire for that specific request? The best advice I can give you is walk before God with a perfect heart. Stay wholehearted before God. Abraham did, so did Caleb for 40 years. A group of people in this church that I carry on my heart, maybe more closely than any other group of people, is our young adults who are at the age of marrying, and nothing's going on right now. And to that group especially, trust Him. Trust Him. Wholeheartedly follow Him. Yeah, but I don't get it either. If I was the one to decide, I could match some people up. We could have one of those arranged weddings. You know what I'm saying? But I that's out of my territory. Some of you boys, don't get your hopes up. I wouldn't match you up with anybody. But I'm just teasing. My heart, and I'm not teasing about this, my heart's heavy for those young adults, and I want to draw attention to their situation and embarrass them any more than sometimes they probably feel embarrassed. But I must say to you, trust Him. Trust Him. Follow Him. Walk before God. And by the way, this really applies to all of us as we wait for the Lord's return. Folks, we are one political election away from real trouble. And American politics has never been one-sided. For years and years and years. If you get 8 over here, almost automatically swings back to 4 or 8 over here. Right. You know what I'm talking about? Yep. And this crowd that's running that other party, they get in power. I'm going to tell you something. Walk perfect. Walk before me and be Thou perfect, wholeheartedly. Well, Lord, it just seems to me like everything is ready for Christ to come. It's not my call. It's not yours. So we wait before God with a perfect, a whole heart. Then, number 10 on your sheet, so you got this powerful revelation, you got this personal expectation, what God expects of Abraham. Now here I am, Abraham, I am the Almighty God, and what I need you to do is you walk before me and you be wholehearted and you trust me. Then at number 10, there was the promise confirmation. There was the promise, I'm talking about the promise of the seed. Look at verse number 2. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. So here he is. God had previously given his promise to Abraham concerning a seed, that through the seed, nations and families of the earth would be blessed, that the seed would inherit the land, that the seed would be multiplied as the stars of the sky. The seed, the seed, the seed, the seed, the seed. And who's his only seed? Ishmael. Abraham's got to be thinking, he, this one, I love him. He's my son. I'm watching him grow. He's 13 years old. He's a good kid. This is him. God says, and look in verses 4 through 14. We don't have time to go through all of these verses tonight. But let me just simply say, you could read through them sometime. In verses 4 through 14, God, and this is number 11 on your sheet, God confirms all those promises to Abraham. All the promises about him, the nations and families of the earth being blessed, and the seed is going to be multiplied, they're going to be in the land. He confirms all of them, and he gives him circumcision as a sign of that covenant that God had made between himself, Abraham, and Abraham's seed. Because the covenant was not just with Abraham, it was with Abraham's seed. Okay? So there's the promise confirmation again. Again, and that takes me to number 12, there was a precise explanation, and you get that in verses 15 through 21. Look at verse number 15. So he gives him it confirms the promises through the sign of circumcision. And then in verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her. Now look at this. And give thee a son. Also, he already had a son. I'll give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. So God leaves Abraham with no uncertainties about the promised seed. It's like God said to him, okay, Abraham, you listen to me, and you listen close. You and Sarah took things into your own hands, so let me explain this clearly to you. I'm going to give you a son from Sarah's womb. I gave you a son through your relationship with Hagar, but you hear me, Sarah is going to bear you a son. And you know what he did? Verse 17, Abraham fell on his face and laughed. I would never do that to God. Come on. And look what it says. And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Shall Sarah that is 90 years old? I'm 100 years old. Sarah's 90. She's going to bear a son. He's thinking all this, but there's a big problem. God knows the very thoughts and intents of our hearts. And boy, God calls him out on it. Before God called him out on it, in verse number 18, Abraham, only thing he said publicly was, he fell on his face and laughed. He's got all these thoughts going through his mind, and he goes, yeah, God, long live Ishmael. Verse 18, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And that was like saying, excuse me, God, but this one is beyond my belief potential. Thank you for Ishmael. And verse 19. Through 21, some of the most critical, vital verses that give the most clear, plain, precise detail, just who the promised seed was and from whom he was coming. Look at it. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son. What's the next word? I like it. indeed. And thou shalt call his name. But did he get specific here? And you're going to call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. So it's going from you to him to his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I've heard thee. Behold, I've blessed him and will make him fruitful, will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. Is that clear? Which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. Well, you talk about getting precise with him. Now, how can God say that? He's Almighty God. Look at all these things he said. Sarah will bear you a son. His name shall be called Isaac. My covenant's going to be established with him forever. My covenant will continue through his seed. I will make a great nation from Ishmael, but my covenant will be established with your son, Isaac, that Sarah will bear to you this time next year. How much more specific and detailed could God make it? Here's Abraham. You've got to try to put yourself in his shoes. This is after 13 years of silence. And after all these years of his pilgrimage, moving from place to place and building altars and making sacrifices and watching Lot move to a modernized commercial city, God point blank tells Abraham all the specifics of his promise. Now people, on these verses right here, verses 19 and 21 especially, number 13, we stand firm on the truth that the people of Abraham through Isaac are indeed God's chosen. The people of Abraham through Isaac are indeed God's chosen. Why do I say the people of God through Isaac? Because there were people through Ishmael. And you know that. And what do the Muslims call Abraham? Father. And are they right? Yep. This is part of the mess. It came from them just not waiting on God. Abraham listening to his wife when he shouldn't have. Hearken to her. Number 14, the promises of God to Israel are intact and good to those people. Don't you ever, ever side up with the liberal media who talks about the Israelite occupation of Palestinian land. Don't ever fall for that. Don't put a coexist bumper sticker on your car. I hope nobody has one out there, but anyway. They, the people of God, through Isaac. Who was Isaac's son? Jacob. What was Jacob's name changed to? Israel. It's plain, folks. And but many of the things that God said would take place among his chosen people are happening right now. You know what God said? You know, I've been reading about it in the book of Jeremiah and Isaiah. For my devotions, God said he would regather those people from all over the world. You know what God said? God said he would send fishers and he would send hunters to fish and hunt for them for the purpose of bringing them back to the land. It's a little bit what Brian Sharp's ministry was involved in several years ago. We gave that ministry a large financial gift. And Brother Ed Bragg was involved in some of that too. He was hunting and fishing for saved Jewish preachers in Ukraine trying to convince them to come back to the nation of Israel, and some came. You got the fulfillment of that prophecy. I'm going to hunt for them. I'm going to fish for them. I'm going to bring them back to the land. And so many Jewish people moving to Israel today, you ask them why, and they just simply say, I've got this strange desire in my heart to go back to Israel, drawing them to that land. This is God's promise coming to pass. That's where we stand. I don't hate Muslims. In fact, I met a missionary these past couple of days who is working in Syria amongst the Syrian refugees. I actually had my eyes on pictures of Syrians in a church service where they preach and sing praises to God from the Bible. And I hope we can get him to come here. I don't hate the Muslim people. I don't think God hates the Muslim people. But they're not His chosen. The Jews are. Well, the Jews are, man, the Americanized Jews, the Westernized Jews, they're filthy. They're Christ haters. Just like their forefathers. Crucify Him! Same people. Same people. But that's clear. Okay? All right. Look at verse 22. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So, God's done. 13 years, there was nothing. Here comes God on the scene. Abraham, I am the Almighty God. Trust me. Walk thou before me with a perfect heart. Trust me. I am going to give your people. I'm going to give your seed what I promised I was going to give your seed. And here's the covenant sign. Now you trust me, and your wife is going to have a child named Isaac about a year from now. You trust me. And then God leaves. And here's what I believe, number 15. Abraham believes. He wants to believe. He knows he should believe. He will believe. Except for one small detail. That's 190. Now people, don't you think that was roaring around in the back of his mind? I'm 100 years old. Sarah's 90. And the book of Romans tells us that reproductively she was dead. Abraham has to think to himself what that man in the New Testament said to Christ. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I want to trust you. I do believe you. But boy, there's just this nagging doubt inside of me. People, I'm just going to wrap it up by tonight by saying this. Number 17 on your sheet. The promises of God to me and you are true. And those promises are made by the same Almighty God who has the wherewithal to bring them to pass. But there is an expectation placed upon us, just like there was on Abraham. Walk before him with a whole heart. I don't like necessarily, enjoy necessarily, making statements like I did a little bit ago about the future of this country in the turn of one political election when I got a couple sitting right out here who's going to get married and start a home together here in just a few months. But I'm telling you something. God's promises are true. And you can have a good marriage and you can have a blessed home, but you're going to have to walk wholeheartedly before God. And I'm not saying you're not. I'm encouraging you. Walk wholeheartedly before God. You say, but it looks so impossible. 190. That's pretty impossible. But it looks so daunting. Man, you know, what's going to happen next year, the 2020 election? I don't know. But I know that His promises are true. And I know that He's got the power to back Him up. What do? I trust Him. And I walk before Him with a whole heart. Caleb did for 40 years. Folks, we're not the first people to face daunting circumstances. Maybe the first Christians in America potentially to face daunting circumstances in a long time. Are you catching any of the news, reading any of the articles, seeing any of it? I'm telling you, it's the spirit of Antichrist. And I think you and I are followers of... Yeah. So number 18, walk complete before Him and you will not regret it. Walk complete before Him and you'll not regret it. Be wholehearted. Trust Him. When it all looks confusing, when it all looks daunting, when it all makes no sense, when it all seems like it's never going to come to pass, trust Him. Trust Him. Should tell you a story, but I don't know if I should take the time to do it. Save it for later. But trust Him. Just trust Him. Just walk before Him. Whole heart. God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Looks daunting. Looks impossible. I'm 100. She's 90. A son. Walk before me. Trust me. You wholeheartedly walk. I am the Almighty God. Whew. Amen and amen. Got more to say, but it's time. Let's stand, all right? Father, we thank You for who You are. Thank You for this revelation of Yourself way back in the book of what we know as Genesis. Took place in Abraham's day when You, after 13 years of what we know as silence, appeared to him and introduced Yourself as the Almighty God. And You have not changed one lick from that moment to this one. There's a bunch of young people in this church, let a lot of young people, Lord, who really don't even get what the future's all about or may be right now. They're just little children running around the auditorium before a church service. But there are others in this room, a little older, and they look ahead and it looks daunting and impossible, and how in the world is this all going to turn out, and why can't it be the same nation that my grandparents knew, my great-grandparents knew, and why? Well, we just got to trust You. We just got to walk before You wholeheartedly and trust You. So speak to our hearts, help us to do it. Thank You for the power that you give us to do it. In the face of all the uncertainty. In Jesus' name.